got a very exciting and interesting guest, someone who I don't have the pleasure of speaking to every day. We're joined by the Senior Curator of Paleontology for the Queensland Museum, Scott Hucknall. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Nicole. How are you going?
Good. Now, Scott, just tell us a little bit about, we were talking to the girls who worked here before, and they all had different reasons of why they got into dinosaurs, but the common thing was a passion for it and just a real interest in them. When did you realise that the only thing for you to do would be to be a paleontologist?
It happened very early for me. I was about eight years old, totally obsessed by dinosaurs. And I read every book on dinosaurs, the big book of dinosaurs, the gigantic book of dinosaurs, the everything book of dinosaurs. But of course, the interesting thing from my point of view was that there weren't very many Australian dinosaurs in those books. So I still kept my passions alive, but I was sort of in a quandary because I didn't know where to go. Where could you study dinosaurs? And I thought, well, Australia might be a place to do it. But I was told when I was a young fellow that if you wanted to study dinosaurs, well, you buy a plane ticket and fly overseas, which I found very strange because that's not what I hoped for our country.
And so it must be a very exciting thing for you, it just that time from when you were a small boy to now realise that you can come to a place like Winton and you can study dinosaurs.
Oh, it's been a boyhood dream come true for me. When I was a teenager, I could study paleontology in a university in Australia, and that was fine, but dinosaurs were still an enigma. We had a few scrappy remains here and there, a couple of skeletons, but out here in Western Queensland, there are dinosaurs everywhere. And the great thing about it is the establishment of the Australian Age of Dinosaurs Museum means that not only can anyone come and be a part of dinosaur natural history, but kids can aspire to be paleontologists now and actually work here in the country that they were born.
Now, paleontologists, they study dinosaurs, but what do you actually do when you're studying dinosaurs? Do you spend all day with a bone under a microscope running analyses?
It's an exciting job. You get to go out west, you get to dig up these things that were roaming around hundreds of millions of years ago, and you actually get to see the bones for the first time ever. You're the first human to ever actually see these animals, and to study them is a privilege. It's an honour, and it's something that most people probably aspired to have done when they were a kid, and to be able to actually do it as an adult is pretty awesome.
Is that really that change from being a boy and being fascinated about dinosaurs to now the realisation that you really are the first person to see a lot of these things? Is that what the charm and the attraction of the job is now?
Oh, it's the discovery. Imagine it's a sort of Indiana Jones style thing, you know. I don't think of myself as Harrison Ford, but going out and finding dinosaurs out in a remote place and seeing these gigantic bones that are as long as you single bones that are massive, it's just a mind blow. But what's really interesting is the fact that you can piece it all together and figure out what the environment was like 100 million years ago, and then decide, well, what does that mean? What does that tell us about our current environment? And what does it tell us about where we came from, where our country came from, and our natural history identity?
Now, I would disagree with you. I think with a hat like that, I would have pegged you as an Indiana Jones from 100 paces. Now, let's just talk. We're here in Winton. I've described the view a couple of times to people. If someone hasn't been here to the Winton area before, I guess the film, The Proposition, is a good place to start to get an idea. But we're sitting on top of a jump-up, or what in an American movie would be described as a mesa, looking out across this sort of flat, sort of downs country. Why are we finding so many dinosaurs or evidence of dinosaurs here? Is it because this is where we're looking?
It's a really exciting place out here. Yeah, we are on the top of a jump up, which is the ground surface here is about 20 million years old. And when you look out onto the flat plain, you're actually looking back to 98 million years ago. The soil out there is the actual dinosaur soil. The dinosaurs walked over it 100 million years ago, and their bones are just underneath the ground. You only have to take off that thin veneer of topsoil, and you actually find all the bones underneath it. So when you look out on this vast horizon and you can see the curvature of the earth and no hills whatsoever, that's exactly what it was like back in the dinosaurs. Okay, there was no mulga or gidgee bush or Mitchell grass. There were ferns and cycads and conifers and these really strange plants. But it was the same topography. It was quite flat.
So is it that the soil hasn't been deposited on top, you know, not too much soil has been deposited on top, or is it that soil has been eroded away much more quickly?
Well, Australia's a very stable environment, and 98 million years ago, there was a sea retreating to the north, and basically that sea was filling in with the sediment, the mud and the rocks and the bones that were being deposited into that inland sea. And as it retreated to the north, it left a layer, the Winton Formation, which it's called today. And that Winton Formation has stayed exactly where it has for 100 million years. And a bit of top surface stripping reveals a world 100 million years in the making.
So clearly there's only one Winton Formation, but is there possibly other formations around Australia that are yet to be discovered? Can you look at the topography of places and find that?
Yeah, it's the Winton Formation is actually massive, a massive area. It spans most of Queensland and into northern New South Wales and South Australia. So there's a huge prospecting area for finding dinosaur bones out here. And the age of dinosaurs, the actual rocks that the dinosaurs can occur in, occur all over Australia. There have been dinosaurs found all over the place. But Winton's unique in that you can find these bones just outside of Winton. Being able to be involved with the community group means that you can actually retrieve these bones quicker, prepare them faster, and get them out into science and education.
Right, well, I've been teasing people all morning, telling them that something big was going to be discussed here and released. And basically, you've found something. Well, you've found three things here, haven't you? What have you found?
Well, it's the first dinosaurs from the area to be described, the first dinosaurs from the Winton Formation. It's really exciting. We just recently published, as in today, published a paper in a journal called PLOS One, which is Public Library of Science, on three new species of dinosaurs. Two whopping great herbivorous dinosaurs, these big sauropods, long-necked dinosaurs, and one nasty-pasty carnivorous dinosaur. In fact, the most complete carnivorous dinosaur ever found in Australia. It was an absolute killer. It was basically, it's Australia's answer to Velociraptor, but about five times as big and a hell of a lot more terrifying. And the two sauropods, the two plant-eating dinosaurs, have been nicknamed Matilda and Clancy, but their scientific names, Diamantinosaurus, after the Diamantina River, and Wintonotitan, or Winton's Giant, are two of the two monstrous sauropods. Now, they were big plant-eating dinosaurs, very large, but the bones are just fantastically preserved, better preserved than any other sauropods ever found in Australia.
So really, I mean, these are three brand new dinosaurs that have never been heard of or spoken of before, have been found here in Winton, and you're publishing this information today.
That's right. It's going to be announced very shortly by the Premier, and it's going to hit the publications as we speak. Scientists all around the world will be blown away by the fact that Australia has its dinosaurs now. We're right back on the map again for our dinosaurs. And now that we have a big carnivorous dinosaur, well, everyone will be pretty jealous.
Does that give us a bit of extra street cred in international paleontologist terms? I mean, the T-Rex is, you know, everyone knows the T-Rex. Is this our version of that?
Well, I can't claim to be our version of T-Rex because he's not that big, but he's a voracious animal. He had massive claws and razor-sharp teeth. He's sort of like the cheetah of his time, but we're still yet to find the lion. So the mystery still surrounds, do we have bigger sauropods and bigger theropods, the bigger carnivorous dinosaurs? I reckon yes, we do. Maybe I know a little bit more than I'm letting on.
Now, he has been nicknamed Banjo, and I will need you to say his scientific name for me because I've tried a few times. I get my tongue mixed up. Wintonotitan?
So it's Australovenator wintonensis, and basically that means Winton's southern hunter, or the Australian hunter, which is really exciting for us to name dinosaurs like that and in the Latin terms, bring them to life. So yes, Winton's southern hunter. We have Watts's Winton giant, and we have Matilda's Diamantina lizard. They're the three different dinosaurs that we've been able to find.
Now, you were able to ascertain that Matilda and Clancy were plant eaters, but that Banjo was carnivorous. Is it the teeth that gives that away? Did you find teeth?
That's right. We certainly found teeth of Banjo, razor sharp recurved teeth. So we obviously know that he ate meat. the two other dinosaurs, the sauropods, these long-necked plant-eating dinosaurs, they're only plant eaters, and they're so massive that you couldn't imagine them to be carnivorous. But they had long, long necks and long tails for reaching up into the highest trees. And Matilda in particular, Diamantinosaurus Matilda, is a huge dinosaur, and it's funny because it's sort of more like a hippo in its shape. It was a very round, rotund thing, and you could imagine looking out onto this vista, these giant sort of hippo-like sauropods with their long necks and long tails wallowing around in billabongs, because basically it was the same as it was today, 98 million years ago.
So Matilda, you say, looked like, you know, that hippo-like, but you said she was very large. Are we talking tall or fat?
Both. About 3 metres high at the hip and probably about 3 metres wide as well. Rather large backside, I would say, for a dinosaur, but a very round, barrel-shaped animal, which is compared to Clancy, which is Wintonotitan Wattsi, the other sauropod, which was very gracile, very tall. About the same length as Matilda, but a lot more gracile. Maybe you would compare them to giraffe today, a sort of a giraffe niche, where these they're taller browsers, they can browse into the highest trees, whereas Matilda would have been wallowing around in the mud piles that were made from the billabongs.
All right. Now you said that that Banjo wouldn't be as big as a T-Rex, but we know he was a meat eater. Was he sort of like a Tasmanian devil, sort of, you know, a nasty little one? How would you describe what he looked like?
Well, he wasn't too small. He was about 5 meters long and 2 meters high at the hips. So he's not a dinky dinosaur. He would have been terrifying and very, very gracile and very fast. Basically, he could run down any prey it wanted. Probably not the big sauropods, because the sauropods are built massively and wouldn't have been able to... Banjo wouldn't have been able to basically attack them. But maybe if they got stuck in the mud, perhaps Banjo could have a go. And that's where the mystery surrounds why these two animals, Banjo and Matilda, ended up in a billabong 98 million years ago, preserved together. It's a bit spooky, actually. It kind of harps back to Waltzing Matilda, that these two animals get trapped in a billabong together and drown. Well, the science is still out on that. We've got to figure out how these bones came together, but it sure is a really interesting sight, and there's still a lot more to excavate and find.
So you've been able to describe them fairly well, talk about what they ate, and we discussed how the teeth play a role in that, but you've been able to work out how high and how fat they likely are, and that the Diamantinosaurus or the Diamantina lizard would have had a big backside. How do you put all these pieces together just from finding some bones?
Well, the good thing about these three dinosaurs is that they're really well preserved, and there's quite a lot of the skeleton actually there, and there's even more that we've got in jackets, in plaster jackets found in the field that we're yet to prep. So there's a lot of information there to find. But it's about bringing all the bones together, finding out what their muscles look like, and then reconstructing them from other dinosaurs that would have found elsewhere, comparing and contrasting. The great thing about Australian dinosaurs is that they're so unique and so new that it's a bit of guesswork, but it's a lot of fun. And as more bones come out of the ground and more bones are prepared by our volunteers, you'll see a better picture of Matilda, Banjo and Clancy coming out.
Now, I always love looking at the dinosaurs, you know, in the picture books and things like that, and you can see them. You can see what colour they are. You can see, you know, what they would have been like when they had all their flesh on. How much of that is artistic license on the part of a paleontologist?
Well, we're unlucky that colour doesn't fossilise, but with some of these dinosaurs, their bony scutes or their armour fossilised. So we can suggest that Matilda might have had a bit of armour on its body. We haven't found that yet, but the group of dinosaurs it belongs to, it's related to, all have armour on armour plating. The colour, total guesswork, but when you're so big, you don't really have to be colourful. You're not wanting to say, look at me, here I am, because everyone can see you from hundreds of metres away. Perhaps Banjo was colourful. Banjo being a theropod, they're distantly related to birds. Birds are very colourful as well. And being a carnivorous animal, they tend to have showy, flashy colours or camouflage. So you could imagine when we recreate Banjo in flesh and colour, that it should be a lot more colourful than the other two sauropods.
Now, unfortunately, we're really quickly running out of time. I think we could talk about this for another hour, and probably people will be talking about these new dinosaurs later on today. But this is clearly a significant point in your career.
Well, I think it's a significant point in a lot of our careers and in Australia in general. It's changed the course of natural history in Australia forever, because you've been able to bring together a community group, an internationally significant discovery, the government, the museum, and scientists all together for the common cause of bringing our natural history to life. And that's something that Australians should be proud of, and I'm certainly excited about it, and it's been a boyhood dream that's come reality.
Scott Hucknall, thank you so much for coming along to join us today.
My pleasure.